Are you a man looking for an intensive program to help you overcome sexually addictive behaviors? Gateway to Freedom is your answer. Gateway to Freedom is a three-day workshop for men seeking to overcome any destructive sexual habits. Whether married, single, or divorced, Gateway to Freedom will help men regain hope for a new life of purity and real contentment. The workshop is conducted by experts in the field of sexual addiction recovery with decades of combined experience. Read testimonials of workshop alumni at gatewaymen.com. Get all the info and register online at gatewaymen.com or call 1-800-49-PURITY.
Hi, my name is Jonathan, and I'm the founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop. I want to personally invite you to be part of our next workshop coming up September 30th through October 2nd in Pennsylvania. So call us today at 1-800-497-8748 or visit gatewaymen.com.
Welcome to Pure Sex Radio, training men, educating women. Are you ready to get real and start living each day in purity? This dynamic program is designed to educate, encourage, and equip listeners with the tools necessary for living a life of sexual purity. Pure Sex Radio brings you the best in mobile talk radio. Listen to real-life struggles, learn how to overcome lust, pornography, and sex addiction, and get serious about purity. Your hosts for Pure Sex Radio are Jonathan Doherty and Steven Cervantes. Jonathan is the director of Be Broken Ministries and founder of the Gateway to Freedom Workshop for Men. Steven is the founder of the Hope Counseling Center. Visit us online at puresexradio.com. And now, please welcome Jonathan and Steven on Pure Sex Radio.
Good day, radio listeners. Welcome to this edition of the Pure Sex Radio broadcast. We're glad to have you here with us. My name is Jonathan. I'm here with Steven. Steven, how are you?
Blessed today. Thank you for asking me.
Awesome. Well, folks, I just wanted to let you know that we have our Gateway to Freedom workshops, but we also, and that's for men, but I wanted to let you know that we have an entire wives care ministry. We have help for wives out there. So I know sometimes we've heard over the years, like, many wives can feel like, man, I feel double betrayed because, man, I found out about my husband's issues and all of his stuff, and all of a sudden there's all these resources, all these avenues for this guy to get help, and here I am having to figure this all out on my own. Well, ladies, you don't have to figure it all out on your own. We have some great resources. We've got a great wives care ministry. And if you're just looking for some help, please contact us because we can provide all kinds of resources to help you in your own healing journey. And so just reach out to us at puresexradio.com. You can click on the contact link, or you can just go straight to wivescare.bebroken.com, and that will take you to our wives care page, and you can learn all about it there. Well, Stephen, we are going to continue our conversation about trust. And this material is really going to be coming from a book that you've been kind of digging into. And it's simply called Trust, Mastering the Four Essential Trusts. And it's by a woman that I'm going to probably butcher her name, but Iyanla Van Zandt, I believe, is her name. But the book is named Trust, Mastering the Four Essential Trusts. And so why don't you, as we continue our conversation, just sort of share with our listeners where we're going to go in this broadcast.
So you might have listened to our last podcast where we were talking about the topic of trust and how men that we're coming in contact with, there's a piece as we pull this thing apart, the trust piece that we're starting to look at and wonder what happens in a man in the area of trust. So I left the last Gateway to Freedom workshop with the idea that I need to do more reading and thinking about trust. So I just went on, saw this book called Trust by the author Jonathan mentioned, and I thought it was pretty good. She has some pretty good ideas in there. She makes you think. Now, you have to, read every book yourself and assess you know, your opinion of the book, but I'm looking for books on trust that are really good. So tell us how to get feedback, Jonathan, if somebody wants to send in a really good book on trust.
Oh, yeah. If you want to give us any kind of feedback on the program, or if you've got a book suggestion for Stephen or me, simply you can email it to mypoint@puresexradio.com. So mypoint, all one word, @puresexradio.com. Or you can comment on our Twitter feed or send us a message there, @puresexradio. We'd love to get your feedback and your comments there because, I mean, Stephen just never has enough books to read.
So. That's too good. I love ideas and learning and trying to figure things out. It's like so exciting. Mm-hmm. So I don't have a good definition of trust. We were talking about it because, I mean, like in marriage, trust, that's one issue.
Certainly spiritually in terms of our trust.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I mean, trust is a big word that applies on different levels. But we're talking only right now in the context of what got broken in a man's emotional system that he had to get a substitute and develop an addiction. And Jonathan outlined it beautifully. If you did not listen to last week's podcast, you got to go back and go over that line. He just said it in about 10 seconds, but it's perfect because he explained that it wasn't okay to be alone. And that's the piece we're trying to understand. What happens that we're not okay with ourselves? And so we're going to just talk about trust on different levels and what we need and what trust is supposed to look like for us.
Now, before we move on, can I ask you a question? I
yes.
know that all of this was precipitated by you coming out of the workshop, and obviously at the workshop we deal with men, and so that was what kind of the seed that got planted in you thinking about this. But what we're talking about, does it not also apply equally to women in terms of this?
Oh, absolutely. Anybody that has an emotional system.
So this conversation
system,
is
yes.
not just about men. This is about humanity, that we get confused. We grow up in an environment where we kind of learn a system that says, I can't be okay with me. And so this would apply to men and women.
Absolutely. Anybody with an emotional system, because what we're learning is broken early trust means limp along through life with lots of confusion and then want some comfort. So go find some pleasure and mm-hmm. have that pleasure until you become addicted. And so we're just backing everything up going, why are grown men not at ease with themselves? Why can't they rest better? And so the author makes the comment about to be fully alive and fully engaged in life, your trust must be working well. If your trust is not working, then you're going to have some accommodation, some fault, some patch job. You're not going to be running a healthy emotional system. You got to be fully alive and engaged in life. And it, really, that's what we're designed for by God. But trust, and really, if we break it down, trust of self is critical. And tell me once again, why shouldn't I just trust God? Why do I have to trust myself, Jonathan? Isn't that like an anti-God thing?
No, it's absolutely not an anti-God thing. I mean, again, if we look to the incarnate God, Jesus, we didn't see a lack of confidence in being alone and being, you know, anxious about life. I mean, you want to talk about being fully alive and engaged in life. Jesus even said, I've come to give you life and give it to you abundantly. So the idea here is, I think part of that abundant life is being able to say, could you go and spend a week alone with your thoughts, with your God, with your prayers, with nature, and not spin out of control and be out of, I mean, can you be whole and if I could put it this way, kind of at ease and in control as a human being? I mean, in the sense that I'm not going to spin out if I'm alone or if I'm with people.
And so we could say it this way. Could you trust yourself?
Trust yourself with yourself.
That's it. Trust yourself with yourself out in the desert for several days and just have a wonderful experience with nature and God and yourself. You know, is that possible? And I think most addicts would say no.
No, because we've distorted it out of our rush to find an escape from the discomfort of some of our relationships that therefore, it was kind of like I was mentioning in the last podcast where my previous, you know, addiction life was, it was very much, aloneness was scary because I had distorted the beauty of solitude into something that was selfish. Whereas I believe the way God designed solitude, we need rest. You know, we need rest not only from work. I think, if I could put it this way, we need rest from each other.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah.
And there's a healthy way to have rest from you. But the problem is we're so broken in sin and our selfishness that when we think of rest from each other, we think of, let me go do what I want to do and let me go be really selfish with my alone time. And it's like, no, I think the healthy beauty of solitude is being able to say, I can go trust me with me in order to get recharged and
that's it. So, and so let's back this whole thing up to issues of childhood, because remember, you got here from a past, and people say, why do we have to talk about my childhood? It's like,
right,
it's your beginning. Know your path. Know the end is connected to the beginning, okay? It's a one story. And so you got to go to the beginning of the story to understand the where you are now. Mm-hmm. So she says these things. Growing up, the best way to survive childhood, and I'll just assume it was her childhood, she said, was this. Here's my strategy. Do exactly as you were told. Just be a mechanical being. Do what they said. Stand where they say. Talk when they say. Do exactly what you are told. Not much about you. Do what they tell you to do. And do not have any thoughts of your own or about yourself. Do not have any thoughts of your own. And do not have any desires and wants. Do not have any needs. Do not express those needs. Right? Just do what you are told. Ooh, how does that strike you?
Heavy. It just feels heavy. It feels like the brokenness of parents is being placed on the shoulders of this child. You know, essentially, you're not really on our level. You're not really quite yet human. We're not willing to let you be part of this club called the human race. It's almost like there's just this less than
that's good
heaviness that's placed on this child. And then how can a kid bear that, you know? And I think that's why we spin out with so many kind of escaping, isolating, addictive sort of behaviors, because that's a lot for a kid to handle. The one that really jumps out at me, and this is the one that I think some of my super spiritual friends would really struggle with, is, you know, don't have any thoughts about yourself. And they, you know, I know some people that would say, well, that's absolutely right. You should never have any thoughts about yourself. And that's because that's selfishness. And I think, have you read the Bible? I mean, because there are actually multiple places where it actually says to look in your own heart, to examine yourself, to take a look in the mirror. You know, so it says, look at yourself.
That's good. You know? That's good. So the point is, there's a lot of confusion in childhood when I'm not allowed to explore or express. Mm-hmm. And she said, you don't trust yourself or you don't express yourself because that could lead to a far worse outcome. Mm. Right? If you say, hey, I want it. I don't care what you want. I need. I don't care what you need. Do you understand? If you're designed to accommodate the parent, then you get squashed and you get told, I didn't ask you to talk. Mm-hmm. I didn't hear what you wanted. Why are you telling me that? Do you understand? You get squashed and you could get punished into your room. Far worse things can happen when you express yourself.
You know, and I'm having a thought here as you're saying that. I'm thinking there's two models that I think are equally as unhealthy. One is somewhat of what's being described here, which I would call a parent-centric model. So everything in the home is really focused on revolving around the parent, meaning whatever they want, whatever, however it's going to be accommodating to them. I think just as unhealthy a model is a child-centric model, where now everything revolves around the kid, and it's all about the kid's needs and wants. And I'm getting this picture of when we're talking about this issue of trust, I think the healthy model is a relationship-centric model. There is a back and forth, and there is a sense of, and I'm not saying that there is not a difference in terms of the authority between parent and child.
Right.
I mean, there's a distinction in the persons involved in this, but you know what I mean? It's like, if you have a relationship-centered model, what you're doing is you're saying, as a parent, I am recognizing my own brokenness, but I long to help my child, to hear my child, to love my child, to train my child. And in order to do that, they have to have freedom to express and freedom to explore and freedom to be wrong and freedom to struggle. And that's a relationship gets messy like that. It goes back and forth. But I think that builds the trust that then this child can
internal trust in the child. Because
then
I said something to my dad and it was dumb and he still loves me.
And that's just it. So that child is going, there are environments where I can take healthy risks and I can be okay with some of the confusion in my life because I can work it out. I can think it out. I can talk it out.
And they want to know me, and he's glad when I talk, and he, if I say it's stupid, I never want to say stupid things, so I rehearse them. But, you know, you with your friend, you don't have to rehearse.
Right.
You know, you can just say it, and you go, oh, that's dumb, and we both laugh because it was really dumb. But it's safe, right? But with other people, they might mock you or something. You don't want to make mistakes because...
And that's what she's talking about here, is it would lead to a far worse outcome.
And so she said... After a while, you start to believe inside about your own wrongness. She said, innate wrongness. There's something wrong with me. And doing the wrong thing can be corrected, but being wrong leads to a whole life of confusion.
Mm.
Isn't that powerful?
That is shame.
Yeah.
That's a great definition of shame. Because, you can correct a mistake that you've done, you know, a behavior that you made. Or like you said, you say something stupid. That can be corrected. But if you come to believe that you are stupid, like that defines you, how can that be corrected? I mean, you take that deep into your soul. And I think that's what she's saying here. If you think that being wrong, like you're being...
But how do I trust me?
Right.
If I'm wrong, how do I trust me?
Yeah, you would assume that every thought you have and every statement you make would be wrong, so how could you trust you?
Right, and if I'm with you and you're talking, you're right and I'm wrong, right? And I doubt me. Because she goes on to say, being wrong means looking through the world with eyes of little value and little worth and little importance.
Mm.
So... if you believe you're wrong, then you doubt and you speak with little value and little importance.
I think you're going to go one way or the other. You're either going to go into every single interaction and conversation with people with an inferiority complex, or I think there can be overcompensation where you go in with this brash superiority complex, meaning... I will perfect my presentation so much. Oh, yeah, internally, I think I'm a complete piece of crap.
Mm-hmm.
But I will so perfect my presentation that I will impress you. I will make you think that I'm so smart, even though inside, listen, I know I'm a fool. I know I'm stupid. I know I'm not. You know what I mean?
So it's wow, that's great.
I think you can go either way in that assumption when you connect.
But wait, I like this last one, that you better put on a good image of being good in a perfect presentation. Right? Because on the inside, you know you're wrong and of little value and nobody really wants to know you. That's the belief you start with, you know, and then you go through school and kids laugh at you. It's kind of goofy and you're tall or you're short and your clothes aren't perfect and your speech isn't perfect. Your teeth are crooked, right? And then it's just like, oh, it's true. I am.
Mm-hmm.
I better hide.
Mm-hmm.
So we get hurt and betrayed and then we lie. And we even betray ourselves, you know? And we work hard. I love this idea. Put on a great presentation so they'll believe I'm like this. Because here's another thought I had that's really interesting, isn't it? We don't think we're good, so we find a role to play.
Right.
And then we believe we're that role all our lives. Like, I'm a pleaser. That's really one of my issues. I'm a pleaser. And so I believe I have to be a pleaser. I'm always a pleaser. I can't be just a regular guy.
Yeah.
Just do regular stuff. No, no. When I show up, you know, even now, if I'm at a function and helping out, and I'll start cleaning the room. You know what I mean? If I'm part of the organization and there's nothing else to do, I'll just start cleaning the room. I'm a helper. I'm a pleaser. You're never going to see me sitting around just knocking off.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, it's we develop a role because if we think we're not good.
Mm-hmm.
So what role do you think? You know, if what I'm saying is true and you say perfect presentation, what role did you develop, or would you say image, or does what I'm saying make sense?
Yeah, and kind of use the way I put it is sort of the image and that kind of thing is, you know, I've one of the things I've always struggled with is, and we've talked about it here, man, I don't like to be wrong.
Yeah.
I just don't like to be wrong. And so the presentation.
You're talking about me now, right, yeah, aren't you?
The presentation self, the image self is, hey, you got to look like you're smart.
Look smart.
You got to look like you got it all together. Yeah. You got to have an answer for everything. Yeah. You know, and it's like, what's wrong with saying, I don't know. You know, well, but for so long, that has been a hard thing for me to just say, oh, I don't know. I have no idea.
And then you see some people on TV or the radio, and they're just klutzes. Mm-hmm. And they just go on. It's like they don't care that they embarrass themselves and say stupid things. Yeah. But it's like we work so hard to have such a good image.
Mm-hmm.
So I said my role is pleaser. You said I put on a perfect presentation, you know. But does role make sense to you, or does that not make sense to you?
No, it makes perfect sense. And sometimes I think the thing we have to be careful of here is like, okay, so you sort of take on this role of pleaser. There can certainly be a very unhealthy aspect to that, like what you're talking about in terms of this trust issue and the inner self. But but at the same time, there can be such a good quality about that role if used in a way that is selfless and true, you know?
Yes.
So we have to be able to understand, when am I slipping into that unhealthy, I can't trust me and I got to present myself and I got to make myself look good for all these people, instead of, you know what, I really just want to serve. I want to do something helpful for somebody else.
That's good. You're kicking me back and making me think, is this a trust issue where I really don't trust that I'm going to be okay if I sit down and don't do anything?
Yeah.
Right? Do I trust that I'm in the truth? Is yes. But our roles call us.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And what you're saying, I think, is that those roles, a lot of the dynamic for those roles are established in our childhood.
Absolutely. We develop in a way to be helpful to the adults around us.
Mm-hmm.
And because we didn't get good identity. Remember, our parents are supposed to be telling the children, you're made in the image of God. You're chosen. You're esteemed and you're loved and you know tell me about my value and my worth. Don't make me guess it, right? But in this trust issue and confusion, we pick a role that will make us good because we don't believe we're good. So, do you trust your own thoughts and feelings? You know, and when you get in a quiet moment, that's when the test comes up. And can you find love and experience love and express love? Are you scared and holding back?
Mm.
So she goes on and says, there's really four areas where you have to trust. You have to trust yourself. You have to trust in God. You have to trust in others. And you have to trust in life. Or I like to call it the process of life.
Mm-hmm.
That there's sanity in life. There's meaning in life. And really, we're talking about the Christian walk when we say it. Yeah. That's what we're really talking about, the ups and downs. And, you know, or do you give up on why am I here? Is it stupid? The whole point is pointless. So can you trust yourself? Can you hear your own voice? Can you trust it? Because if you can't trust yourself, you're a victim. You're always trying to be something else. And so trust starts on the inside with you saying, you know what, I'm going to start trusting myself. I'm an adult now. I'm a grown up. I do some good and some not. I can be okay with me. Any comment?
Well, I like these four areas for sure. And I think this is a great growth point for our listeners to be thinking through, okay, just take a quick sort of self-analysis. How are you doing in these areas? And this would be a great opportunity to journal about that, to maybe talk to a trusted friend. Maybe if you're part of a group or you've got some accountability people in your life, this would be a great thing to bring to them to just sort of analyze and say, how am I doing trusting myself, trusting in God, trusting in others, and just also trusting the process and this growth mission? Because I think the fact of the matter is, Stephen, if you and I went down these right now, would you say we're at 100% on all these?
No way.
So we all have room to grow in every single one of these areas. So the question becomes is, are we willing to kind of take the next steps to grow in these areas? Because I don't ever want our listeners to think, hey, you know, we're presenting to you, we've got it all together and we got it figured out and we're just trying to kind of disseminate this information to you. No, I'm actually very convicted on this one, trust in life. You know, sometimes I feel like, wait a second, this isn't working out right. I mean, you know,
yes.
You got to realize there's always kind of this ebb and flow. There's this sort of wave mentality to life. And are you going to trust that if you're on the downward plunge of one of these particular waves, do you trust that there's going to be an upward one at some point in time, and then you're going to hit another downward one, and then are you going to go up again?
That's true. So you have to learn to trust yourself and listen to our last podcast, get a good book on trust, listen to this one, and start really digging into this topic. Can you trust in God? Do you quiet yourself enough to hear his voice? Do you have a little routine where you pray daily and you talk to him? People talk about, well, prayer time is like, pray without ceasing. Just have one long dialogue with God. Just say good morning in the morning and talk during the day and say good night at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so have some faith that there is a maker, and then trust in other people. And, you know, I want you to say something about the value of, you can't trust everybody because there's crooks out there.
Right.
But what has been helpful to you in terms of trusting other men?
What's been valuable is that I get a clear picture of where I need to grow and the safety to work on it. Because when I'm in relationship with other men who I know I can trust, meaning we've gone through some fires and they've proven that they are going to stick with me. Guess what? They're truth tellers in my life. And so they do show me areas where I'm weak and I need help. But at the same time, I now have the relationships where I can work on that, where I can make stupid comments, where I can make mistakes, where I can, you know, be the non-presentation. Like, I can just take off any mask that I might be trying to wear.
Wow.
And so it gives me both the view of what I need to see, and then the environment where I can work on it.
But you know what's interesting about what you just said was trusting. I'm going to trust these guys so I can explore and express, right? Mm-hmm. So she goes on to say, life is a fun house of trust and mistrust and distrust, and that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to get through it. So let me have a couple of shots here at her goal. She said, the number one goal in life is intimacy and oneness. And that comes from trusting yourself and God and others. Mm-hmm. And life goal number two is having inner peace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, folks, that's where we're going to wrap up this week. You know, and I just want to encourage you that as we've been talking about this issue of trust in the last podcast and this one, that if this has stirred things from your past, if this has stirred things that are going on in you where you feel like I need so much growth in this area, there's so much that I need to unpack, and you might feel overwhelmed at all that needs to happen, that's why we're here. We want to walk alongside you in this journey. So please reach out to us. We're here to help you. You can get our contact information in just a minute. And just, we want to come alongside and show you that while this can be scary, it can be done. It can be done.
It's small steps. Mm-hmm. Just take small steps.
So thanks again for listening, and we look forward to having you back here again next week on the Pure Sex Radio broadcast.
God bless.
Pure Sex Radio is paid for by Be Broken Ministries. Visit us online at puresexradio.com.